Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Bastard's Gold, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Vein. Some men come west chasing dreams. Others, running from nightmares. I wasn't sure which kind I was anymore. Maybe both. But I do know one thing. The worst kind of men are the ones who find exactly what they're looking for. Gold has a way of making devils out of saints, and I was never no saint. My name's Sam Mathers, and by the time the year 1871 rolled around, I'd done things I'd rather forget. I was a prospector, a gambler, and when the need arose, a goddamn killer. That's how I ended up in Devil's Cradle, a cutthroat patch of land buried deep in the Sierra Nevadas, where the only law was the kind you made with your own two hands. It was me and three other sons of bitches, Charlie, Gus, and Henry. We'd spent 6 goddamn months clawing at the belly of that mountain, cussing and sweating, hoping we hadn't wasted our time. Then, one evening, when the sun was nothing but a bleeding gash in the sky, Charlie's pickaxe hit something solid. Gold. Not dust. Not flakes. Not a fool's speck. A motherlode. A thick, gleaming vein running deep, curling through the rock like God himself had left it there for the taking. We stood there, stunned, covered in dust, our faces cracked with exhaustion, but our eyes burned with greed. Gus let out a hoot and threw his hat in the air. Boys, we're rich. Charlie wiped his brow, looking at me with a grin that stretched ear to ear. Told you, Sam. This place had something hidden. Henry, the quiet one, just stared. His fingers flexed around the handle of his pickaxe, and something passed over his face, something dark. We should have known then. No gold ever comes without a price. We worked the mine from dawn till dusk, barely sleeping, barely eating, just digging, digging, digging like demons possessed. Every strike of the pickaxe rang like a bell calling us to damnation, but we didn't give a shit. That gold belonged to us. At least, that's what we thought. One night, as we sat by the fire, Henry spoke first. He was always the one who said too little or too much. "Ain't right," he muttered, staring into the flames, splitting four ways. Charlie chuckled, shoving another bite of dried meat into his mouth. "Ain't no other way to split it, Henry." Henry looked at me. "Just me. Maybe there is." I didn't answer. But I didn't look away either. Gus was snoring by then, passed out drunk. Charlie kept chewing, but I saw it, the flicker of doubt in his eyes. That small, creeping fear that you only feel when you realize you might not wake up in the morning. But he didn't say a word. None of us did. Because we all knew he was right. For shares was too many. Someone wasn't going to leave Devil's Cradle alive. The first to go was Charlie. The sun was barely over the horizon when I took him out. It was easy, too easy. He was bent over, shoveling dirt, whistling some tune from back home, and I walked up behind him real slow, real quiet. The Colt in my hand felt heavy, like it knew what it was about to do. I pulled the trigger. A loud, hollow crack shattered the morning air, and Charlie pitched forward, dead before he hit the dirt. I stood there, my heart hammering, watching as his blood seeped into the ground. That's when I felt it. A shift in the wind. Like the mountain knew. I wiped the sweat from my brow, shoving my gun back into its holster, and turned to find Henry standing behind me. Not surprised. Not shocked. Just waiting. "Took you long enough," he said. I didn't reply. Because it wasn't over yet. Not by a long shot. Gus had to go next. That much was clear. But Henry hesitated. Said he wanted to do it his way. Make it clean. I should have known then. Should have seen the way he was watching me, calculating, weighing his odds. Should have known that I was never meant to leave that mountain either. Gus was halfway to the creek when it happened. I watched from a distance as Henry called him over, said something low, something quiet. And then bang. Gus's body jerked like a puppet with its strings cut. Blood splattered across the rocks. I should have felt relieved. But all I felt was cold. Because Henry didn't move, didn't turn, didn't lower his gun. He just stood there, staring at Gus's body. Then real slow, he looked over at me. You know what comes next, Sam? I nodded, pulled my gun. Two men, one bullet. We fired at the same time. The explosion rattled through the valley, sent birds screaming into the sky. But Henry missed. I didn't. His body hit the ground hard, blood pouring from the hole in his skull. And just like that, I was alone. Alone with a mountain full of gold and three rotting corpses. That night I buried them. Deep. Real deep. But even as I shoveled, I felt it again. That whisper in the wind. That cold, crawling feeling that someone, something, was watching. I told myself it was nothing. Just the weight of what I'd done. But when I walked back to the mine and turned to look one last time at those fresh graves, I swear to God, Henry was smiling. Chapter 2. Whispers in the Dark. I should have left. Should have packed up whatever gold I could carry and never looked back. But greed is a sickness, and I was rotting from the inside out. I stayed. I told myself it was because I needed time to haul out more gold, that I'd already risked too much to walk away now. But the truth was simpler. I wanted it all. Every last ounce. For days, I worked like a man possessed, digging deeper into the mine, hauling up cart after cart of gold, piling it high in the wooden crates stacked against the cabin. And the more I dug, the more the mine seemed to breathe. At first, I thought it was just the wind, slipping through the cracks, whispering through the tunnels like a mournful spirit. But as the nights dragged on, the whispers started to sound like words. "You stole it, Sam." I froze, fingers tightening around the handle of my pickaxe. My heart kicked hard against my ribs. The voice had come from inside the mine. I turned slow, scanning the darkness. The lantern flickered weakly, shadows stretching long and thin against the rock. No one was there. But I wasn't alone. I told myself it was nothing. That I was tired. That the wind had played a trick on my ears. Then, the next morning, the graves were open. My stomach turned to ice when I saw them. Three gaping holes, right where I'd buried Gus, Charlie, and Henry. The dirt was scattered loose, as if something had crawled out. I took a step back, breathing heavy, my eyes darting around the valley. I was alone. Wasn't no tracks leading away from the graves, no signs of someone digging them up. Just the earth, split open like a wound. And the bodies? Gone. I staggered back to the cabin, slamming the door behind me, bolting it shut. I grabbed my rifle and loaded it with shaking hands, sweat dripping down my back. Someone was out there. Maybe another prospector. Maybe some bandit looking to take what I had. Maybe. Maybe I'd made a mistake. Maybe the dead don't stay buried in Devil's Cradle. That night, the whispering got louder. I sat by the fire, rifle in my lap, listening as the wind moaned outside. Then came the footsteps. Soft. Slow. Crunching over the dirt just beyond the cabin walls. I stood, heart hammering, sweat slicking my palms. I crept to the window, pulled the curtain aside. Nothing. Just the empty valley, bathed in moonlight. I turned, exhaling, shaking my head. Then, from behind me, "Why'd you do it, Sam?" I spun around, rifle raised. The room was empty. The door still locked. The fire burning low in the hearth. I was alone. But I wasn't. I felt them now, pressing in, their voices crawling through the walls, slipping under the floorboards, curling through the cracks in the ceiling. "Ain't yours never was. You think you can keep it? You think we won't take it back?" The room grew colder. The fire snapped and guttered out, like a great breath had blown it away. Then, from the farthest corner of the cabin, I saw him. Charlie. Standing in the shadows, his head cocked at an unnatural angle, the bullet hole in his back gaping like a second mouth. And he was smiling. I didn't remember screaming, but my throat was raw when I woke up. The fire was dead. The lanterns had burned out. And the door? Wide open. My boots were caked in fresh dirt. My hands, too. I touched my face, felt the grit beneath my fingernails. Like I'd been digging. Like something had led me back into that mine. The next day, I found footprints. My own. Leading from the cabin back to the empty graves. Leading back into the mine. I don't know how long I stood there, staring, my breath steaming in the cold morning air. The gold was still there, stacked in crates, gleaming in the dim light. But now, it didn't feel like it belonged to me. It felt like something was watching. Waiting. My hands clenched into fists. I wasn't leaving without that gold. The others? They were dead. This wasn't their mine anymore. It was mine. They could whisper all they wanted. They could creep in the shadows, rattle their chains, stir the wind. I wasn't leaving. Not until every last ounce was mine. That night, I dreamed of Gus. His face pale, his throat slit open, the blood dried into dark rivers down his chest. He was standing in the mine, pickaxe in hand, looking right at me. "You shouldn't have done it, Sam," he said. "You should have run when you had the chance." Then the ground trembled, the walls cracked, and the darkness swallowed me whole. I woke up choking on dirt. When I sat up, coughing, clawing at my throat, I realized something. I wasn't in the cabin. I was in the mine. Somehow, in the dead of night, I'd walked there in my sleep. I scrambled up, heart pounding, my head spinning. My boots were covered in dust. My hands raw and bloody, like I'd been digging again. And that's when I saw it. A single word, carved into the rock. Thief. I ran. I stumbled out of that mine, out into the moonlight, gasping like a drowning man. The graves were still open. Still empty. The valley was silent. Not a whisper of wind, not a single rustling branch. But in the far distance, at the edge of the ridge, I saw three dark figures. Standing side by side. Watching. I didn't need to see their faces to know who they were. Charlie. Gus. Henry. And they weren't smiling anymore. They were waiting. Chapter 3. The Bastard's Haunting. I should have left that night. Should have packed my gold and rode the hell out of Devil's Cradle, left the past buried, or unburied, and never looked back. But I didn't. Because when a man's hands are slick with blood and his pockets are lined with stolen gold, he stops listening to reason. I was that kind of man, and I was about to pay for it. I spent the next few days locked inside the cabin, drinking myself blind. The whispers didn't stop. They got worse. I heard them in the walls, in the rafters, in my own goddamn head. I could feel them in my bones, like fingers crawling beneath my skin, twisting through my veins. "You can't keep it, Sam. You think you can? You think we'll let you? You know what you did." I gritted my teeth and threw my bottle across the room. It shattered against the wall, whiskey bleeding into the floorboards. "Shut up," I muttered. "Ain't yours. Never was." I squeezed my eyes shut, pressing my hands to my temples. "Shut the fuck up." The voices only laughed. That night, I locked the doors, bolted the windows, and sat by the fire with my rifle in my lap. I wasn't gonna let those ghosts, or my own goddamn mind, get the best of me. The wind howled outside, rattling the walls. The flames flickered, casting long, twisting shadows. Then, thump, a slow, deliberate knock at the door. I sat frozen, my breath clawing at my throat. My fingers tightened around my rifle. No one should have been out there. No one alive. Another knock. Louder. Then, "Let me in, Sam." I jolted to my feet, knocking over the chair behind me. Charlie's voice. I knew that voice. I heard it every night, whispering from the cracks, crawling through the darkness. But this wasn't a whisper. This was real. The fire guttered, the shadows shifted. Then I heard it. A slow, dragging sound outside the cabin. Heavy boots shuffling through the dirt. More than one pair. They were all out there. I didn't move. I barely breathed. Then, without warning, the door burst open. A blast of cold, unnatural wind tore through the cabin, knocking over the lantern, sending papers flying. The fire died instantly, smothered as if by an unseen hand. And standing in the doorway, three figures. I raised my rifle, hands shaking, but I couldn't pull the trigger. Charlie. Gus. Henry. Their eyes were hollow. Their skin was stretched tight over their bones, gray and rotting, blood dried black on their clothes. And all three of them were grinning. "We told you, Sam." I screamed. I don't remember grabbing my knife. Don't remember running forward, slashing at them, desperate to make them disappear. The blade went through nothing. And when I hit the ground, rolling onto my back, they were standing over me. Waiting. "You should have left, Sam." Darkness swallowed me whole. I woke up in the mine, lying in the dirt. Alone. I sucked in a breath, my lungs burning, my skin damp with sweat. My hands trembled as I pushed myself up. And then I saw it. Something written in the dust. "Liar. Thief. Murderer." I scrambled back, my heart hammering, my breath coming in sharp gasps. Then I heard footsteps, coming from deep inside the tunnel. Slow. Steady. Getting closer. I ran. I didn't look back. Didn't need to. Because I could feel them behind me. Their breath on my neck. Their hands reaching for me. I barely made it out. I collapsed outside the mine, gulping down air, clawing at the dirt. The entrance was still. Quiet. But I wasn't fooled. I knew they were still inside. Waiting. And they weren't done with me yet. For the next 3 days, I didn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I was back in the mine, digging, digging, digging. And when I woke up, my hands were covered in dirt. Like I'd been sleepwalking. Like I'd been digging in my goddamn sleep. I knew what they wanted. Knew what they were waiting for. They weren't going to let me leave. Not unless I gave it back. But I couldn't. Wouldn't. It was my gold now. Mine. Even if I had to fight them for it. Even if I had to burn this whole goddamn place to the ground. Then the Pinkerton came. And everything went to hell. Chapter 4. The Pinkerton. The moment I saw him ride in, I knew I was fucked. He was too clean. Too steady in the saddle. Wore his coat crisp, his boots polished, his eyes sharp as cut glass. A man like that doesn't ride out to Devil's Cradle for a drink and a handshake. He was here for me. I stood outside the cabin, one hand resting on my revolver, trying not to look like a man with three bodies rotting in a mine. He dismounted slow, dusting off his coat. His face was carved like stone, weathered, unreadable. "Looking for a man named Sam Mathers," he said. His voice was even measured. "That you?" I forced a smile, nodding. "Depends. Who's asking?" "James Calloway. Pinkerton Agency." That name hit me like a hammer to the ribs. Pinkertons. Goddamn bloodhounds, sniffing out trouble from 100 miles away. If one of them was here, that meant someone had sent for him. And I already knew who. "Heard you and some partners struck gold out here," Calloway continued. "Funny thing, though, one of them sent a letter before he went missing. Said he was worried his partner was getting greedy." I felt my stomach twist. Gus. The bastard had written for help. And now help had come. I kept my face still. "Don't know what you're talking about. Just me out here." Calloway nodded slow, like he expected me to lie. "That's so. 'Cause I got a ledger that says four men filed a claim here a few months back. Yet, I only see one. Where'd your partners run off to, Sam?" I didn't answer. Because for the first time since he'd arrived, I realized something. He wasn't alone. His horse wasn't packed for a long ride. There were no spare rations, no extra water. Which meant, "Got a whole posse waiting just outside the ridge, don't you?" I asked, my mouth dry. Calloway smirked. "Now why would I need a posse if you ain't done nothing wrong?" I exhaled slow, pretending to relax, my hand slipping away from my gun. "Well then, why don't you come inside, have a drink, and I'll tell you all about it." His eyes flicked to my revolver, then back to me. He smiled. "After you." Inside, I poured him a drink, careful not to let my hands shake. The cabin was small, one room, one table, a cot in the corner, a few shelves stacked with supplies. The walls were too thin. If I shot him now, the posse would hear. No, I needed to be smarter. I needed to make this look like an accident. Calloway took a sip, eyeing me over the rim of his glass. "You been out here alone long, Sam?" he asked. "Few weeks," I lied. "And the gold? That all yours now?" I kept my smile in place. "Wasn't no partners, Calloway." "That right, 'cause I checked the registry. Seen the names. Heard from folks in town that you came in with three others. Charlie Hawthorne. Gus Wilkes. Henry Tate." I felt the blood drain from my face. He leaned forward, slow, deliberate. "But funny thing, no one's seen him since." I swallowed hard, forcing a chuckle. "Ain't my problem if men run off when they strike it rich. MMM. Calloway nodded, swirling the whiskey in his glass. Then he set it down real gentle, folded his hands, and said the words that made my gut twist into knots. "Mind if I take a look in the mine?" Every part of me wanted to say no. But I couldn't. If I refused, he'd know. So I smiled, tipping my hat. "Ain't nothing down there but rock and dust. But sure, I'll show you." I grabbed a lantern, lit it, and led the way. The whole time, my brain was racing. How the fuck was I going to do this? If I tried to shoot him, the posse would hear. If I let him find those graves, I was as good as swinging from a noose. Think, Sam. Think. The tunnel swallowed us, the lantern flickering against the damp walls. The deeper we went, the colder it got. And the whole time, I could feel them watching. "You shouldn't have come, Calloway." The words slipped out before I could stop them. He chuckled. "Is that a threat?" "No," I murmured. "A warning." He gave me a long, unreadable look. Then he nodded toward the ground. "What's that?" I followed his gaze. "Tracks. Boot prints. Mine. Leading deeper into the tunnel." A cold sweat broke over me. "You been walking in your sleep, Sam?" Calloway asked softly. I didn't answer. Because I already knew where those tracks led. The same place I kept waking up. The place I kept digging. The bodies weren't in their graves anymore. And that's when the whispering started. Soft. Scraping. like wind curling over rock. You can't hide, Sam. Calloway frowned. You hear that? I nodded, gripping the lantern tighter. The air was thick, heavy. The walls creaked. I took a step forward, and the floor gave way. We crashed into the dark, tumbling into the pit below. Dust choked my lungs. Rocks tumbled, settling. When I opened my eyes, I wasn't in the mine anymore. I was in their grave. And they were waiting. Charlie. Gus. Henry. Their faces rotting, their eyes black pits, their mouths curling into smiles. Took you long enough, Sam. My scream never left my throat. I scrambled up, panting, clawing at the dirt. Calloway groaned beside me, rubbing his head. What the hell? He started. Then he saw them. His breath caught. His whole body went rigid. Jesus Christ. I turned to run, but something grabbed my ankle. Cold. Wet. Fingers tightening like a vice. Ain't yours, Sam. I kicked, screaming, breaking free, scrambling toward the tunnel's entrance. Behind me, I heard Calloway open fire. Boom. Boom. Then silence. I turned back. Calloway was gone. Nothing left but his lantern, flickering weakly in the dark. The gold was still there, piled high. And standing beside it, Henry, grinning wide. Still think it's yours? Then the mine collapsed. Chapter 5, The Bastard's Gold. When the mine came down, I thought I was dead. Maybe I should have been. The world above me collapsed in a roar of rock and dust, swallowing the light, swallowing Calloway, swallowing everything but the weight pressing down on my chest. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't move. The gold was still there, buried with me in that grave of my own making. And so were they. I heard them before I saw them. Low whispers in the dark, dragging, shuffling steps over loose dirt. Still think you can take it, Sam? I tried to scream, but my lungs wouldn't work. Cold fingers brushed against my face, curling under my chin, forcing my head up. And then eyes. Three pairs of them, empty and black. Charlie. Gus. Henry. Standing over me. Waiting. I must have passed out, because the next thing I knew, I was somewhere else. The walls around me were wrong. The mine was gone, but I was still underground, deep in some forgotten part of the earth where time didn't mean a damn thing. I was kneeling in front of the gold. Piles of it. Stacked high, gleaming even in the dark. It should have been beautiful. It should have felt like salvation. But it didn't. It felt like a goddamn curse. And standing in front of it, Henry. He wasn't grinning anymore. He was watching me. Pick it up, he said. His voice was wrong. Too deep. Too hollow. I shook my head. Pick it up, Sam. Charlie and Gus stood behind him, their heads cocked at unnatural angles, like they were listening to something I couldn't hear. Go on, Henry whispered. You killed for it. You bled for it. It's yours now. Ain't that what you wanted? My hands trembled as I reached for a single gold nugget, barely able to see through the dust burning my eyes. The moment my fingers closed around it, the world shifted. A cold wind rushed through the cavern, sending dust spiraling, and suddenly I could hear them. All of them. Not just Charlie. Not just Gus. Not just Henry. The others. Every man who'd ever touched this gold. Every poor bastard who'd killed for it, bled for it, died for it. Their voices pounded against my skull. Ain't yours. Never was. We all thought we could keep it. We all ended up here. The walls trembled, cracks splitting through the stone. The ceiling groaned like it was about to come down all over again. I dropped the gold. My breath came in short, sharp gasps. My mind was screaming at me to run, to get the hell out of there, but my legs wouldn't move. Henry stepped closer. You ain't leaving, Sam. His mouth stretched into a wide, unnatural grin. His teeth were gone. Nothing but black, gaping emptiness. You think you're the first, he whispered. I clutched my chest, my heart pounding so hard it hurt. You think you're the last. Behind him, the shadows shifted. Shapes moved in the dark, dozens of them. Men. Buried men. Their faces were rotting, twisted, staring right at me. All the others who came before. All the others who had died for this gold. And they were waiting to drag me down with them. I don't know how I broke free. Maybe it was the thought of dying there, forgotten and nameless. Maybe it was the thought of ending up like them, trapped, whispering in the dark for all eternity. Maybe I just didn't want to pay for what I'd done. But somehow I moved. I ran. I tore through the tunnels, scraping my hands and knees on jagged rock, blind in the dark. The voices screamed after me, rising into an ear-splitting wail. Thief! Murderer! You can't escape. The mine shook around me. The walls were collapsing. I could hear something chasing me. Footsteps pounding just behind me. Too many of them. Too close. And then, a hand caught my shoulder. Cold. Wet. Too strong. I hit the ground hard, my ribs cracking against the stone. I twisted, kicking, clawing, screaming. And I saw him. Henry. His face was inches from mine, his hands wrapped around my throat. You don't get to leave, Sam. His grip tightened. My vision blurred. Everything started fading. This was it. This was how it ended. Then, bang. A single gunshot tore through the air. Henry jerked backward. His grip loosened. I gasped, coughing, scrambling away. Another shot rang out. The shadow figures howled. Then came a sound I never thought I'd hear again. Get up, Mathers. Calloway. I turned, saw him standing at the entrance of the tunnel. His coat was torn, his face covered in blood, but his gun was steady. Move, he bellowed. I didn't think. I just ran. The moment we hit the surface, the mine collapsed. A thunderous roar of stone and dust swallowed the entrance hole. I collapsed onto the ground, gasping, covered in blood and sweat. Calloway stood beside me, his gun still smoking. For a long moment, neither of us spoke. Then he turned to me. You're under arrest, Sam. I let out a ragged, hollow laugh. You think a jail cell's worse than that goddamn mine? Calloway just stared at the rubble, his jaw clenched tight. Then real slow, he holstered his gun. Ain't no jail for a dead man, he murmured. I blinked. Then I followed his gaze, and felt my stomach drop. Because there, in the dust, half buried under the rubble, was a body. A man in torn clothes, his face barely recognizable, his ribs cracked and exposed. But I knew who it was. Me. It was me. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't think. I stumbled back, shaking my head. No, and oh, that ain't me. But Calloway didn't look surprised. He just shook his head, looking away, like he'd already made his peace with whatever the hell devil's cradle was. Ain't nobody ever left this mine, Sam. Then, he was gone, and I was alone. Some folks say the devil's cradle is cursed. That if you listen real close, you can still hear the whispers of men long buried. And if you listen closer, you might hear one more voice. Mine. The end.